Your Humanities Half Hour is brought to you by the Northern Marianas Humanities Council, Navigating the Human Experience Together.
Hafade, Tero, and welcome to Your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry. Faisho, olomwai, reda, shufuyant, we sibwe, titilpa, rel island. Today we'll be learning about the clan system in the Carolinian or Arfalawash community here in the Marianas. And our guests today are two well-respected leaders in the community, Lino Olapai and Cecilio Raikilpi. Uncle Lino, Uncle Cecilio, olomwai. And welcome.
Yes, can.
Uncle Lino, maybe I know in our chats, you know, this has always been something that you guys have really emphasized, a very important part of the Arfalawash culture. What is the significance of clan for the Carolinian people?
It's very, very important, Kat, because we don't follow our father last name like we're doing today. All the legal document, it's, you know, the new concept that came, it's a father name. But Carolinian, it's a female name, our mom, because that's what the clan passes on down through mother bloodline, not father bloodline. Father bloodline eventually fade out within the system. And that's why the clan is important. It's from our mother bloodline. Nobody would dispute that.
When we say clan, what are we really talking about? What makes up a clan? Who makes up a clan?
It's been an old tradition and it's been an old practice. And I think without the clan system, there will be constantly warpath within each island. So when you have that clan, because you have a higher clan and a lower clan, you have that respect, understanding where you belong within the community or on an island. Can you speak up during a general meeting? You know, each one of those clans have their role and their part in make sure that things are peace, bring peace to the island.
Kind
especially
of like
sharing of food, those are critical. Mm-hmm. Like the island of Rebuel, you know, the name Rebuel is the Taro Pass where land, where Taro and Inalulu and those things grow. And that's pretty much their responsibility.
So it's kind of like each clan has a special responsibility sometimes or a special role to play.
Yes, the name alone tell us what's the part in the whole Carolinian system, the clan system. Mm-hmm. And with that, it brings respect, you know. You know where your footing is.
Mm-hmm. Uncle Cecilio, when we were talking about this at Herman's about a year ago, you actually made me aware of what that word means, the word for clan, which I hadn't really understood before. What does that word actually mean? Ailang.
Yeah, so the word.
The word, yeah.
Ailang. So the first part of Ailang is Ai means mind. Lang means world in Carolinian. Mm-hmm. So that's my world. Ailang.
Mm-hmm. Ailang, my sky, my heaven.
Yeah.
Ailang.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My heaven.
That's your world. That's your world where your ancestors come from. That's the meaning.
So that world is our mother bloodline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have to say, growing up here in Saipan, I didn't even know my clan until I was in my teens or early 20s, but still very strong in the Caroline Islands. Mm. When you are in Satawal, where you're from, how does your clan play into your daily life?
So, your clan is your whole identity of you and where you come from and your status on the island, in that community. So you need to understand it and know it, because when you go to another island, they're gonna ask you. And then they will tell you, okay, this is where you belong. That's your family here. So if you don't have that clan, then you're gonna be left out. Mm. What world, which world you belong to? You know, that's your. So we have to understand and respect, because some clans on one island, they're maybe low caste, but on different island, they're the king.
Chief Le Clan. Yeah. I think I mentioned this many times. Mm-hmm.
Mm. I know that when I got to travel with you to Satawal, and we all presented ourselves to the chief, and everybody had to introduce themselves, and the first thing we said was our name. And the second thing we had to say was our clan, mm-hmm. if we knew what our clan was.
Yes.
Kind of showing the importance. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the reason why that's important is we call it kasiyarone. That means they're asking you your status in the community so that they can introduce you, or the people that relate, that part of your clan can take care of you. Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't understand what's your status on the island.
And they did. They did take care of me.
I mentioned this earlier, you know, when we're sitting on the back. To ask somebody else outright about their clan, it's an insulting. You have that keyword to enable us to discuss about our clan when we first met with so-called stranger. Mm-hmm. Until we got Sialole, that word kashale means let's talk about our clan to see whether we're related. And once you're related, then you're brother and sister. We don't have first, second, or third cousin. I mentioned this, you know, we're sitting on the back. It's a form of respect.
I always knew that, like, for example, we would consider first cousin or second cousin. In Carolinian, we don't have this word for cousin.
We don't.
We call them brother or sister.
Exactly.
But I didn't realize it really extends to the whole clan.
Yeah, the whole thing. Well, once you say we, then your clan are connected. The clan you were trying to see if you're related. Then when that connect, no more cousin. You're my brother and my sister.
Mm-hmm. So why is it important to respect and to have these, to invite somebody to speak about their clan? What is the sacredness of the clan, and why do you ask permission to somebody to, let's talk about our clan, instead of just asking out?
To make it simple, if there's no law and order, everybody are gonna kill one another. Mm-hmm. So with law and order in place, it's pretty much the same with the clan, because you have a higher clan and so on down the line. So wherever they meet, you have that respect in place already. Unless you don't know your clan. So you bring peace. It's very critical and important. Otherwise, you'll be speaking when you're not supposed to speak up. You may be speaking up against your older cousin, your older brother. I don't know. Chichi, you want to add to that?
Okay, so you're asking about why is it so important?
Yeah, why is it important, and why is it important to respect or not just come up to somebody and say, hey, what clan are you? You have to agree, or you have to say these words. What is the sacredness or the importance in that?
Yeah, because When you know your clan, when you know it, when you know your clan, there's a lot of things that affiliate with, like, the knowledge of your clan. Maybe your clan, they're the master healers, master navigators, master canoe people, a lot of stuff that belong to your clan. So if you don't know the person, don't just ask, because they have all that information for their clan that belongs to their clan, and also they know where they come from you know, coming from Sarawal or coming from Yap or from different places. So they keep it, only their clan understand and knows and keep their knowledge belongs to the clan.
Mm-hmm. Their special
and
knowledge.
And with these children. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of children, today, young people growing up here in the Marianas, do you feel there's a, or what do you feel about the next generation's understanding of their clan? Do you feel it's strong? And why do you think it's important in the 21st century for us to continue to follow this way of life?
The old system, the Carolian system, is that, just to make it simple, you help each other out wherever you meet. Once you're connected and you're from the same clan, and you meet each other, whether they're going to do you harm or do him harm, well, from the same clan, I'll be way up in the front to help out, whatever the reason is. I won't probably need to ask the reason why. They're going to beat him up. I'll probably just jump right in and you know, protect him. Mm-hmm. He's my brother from the same clan. Mother bloodline. And, you know, there's so many ingredients and why we need to stand up. I think I mentioned it to you, there's several levels of protection that protect the clan, you know, the line that maybe Sissy can elaborate on that more. A defensive, like a defensive line before somebody can come to do harm to, you know, our mom or sister. You have that line of defense.
I do remember, sorry.
So today, why is it important? Because of the children need to understand that if we don't have the clan system or the traditional system, we won't have that bond. You need to know that it's when you do something, either you're successful or you do something bad, it involves the whole clan.
The whole clan.
The whole clan. When something too bad, the whole clan comes. Yeah, they go. If they're gonna go to jail, everybody go to jail. Yeah, in the rope. In the islands, we go and sit in the rope under the sun and the rain. The whole. So always think that, don't think of only yourself. You have to think that when I'm doing things, it's for the whole clan that I belong to, not only for me.
Yeah, they'll care about the book, the clan that we put in jail, remember?
Yeah. Yes, the story chicken. In your book, The Rope of Tradition.
Right,
yes.
It is there. We're not talking about me, you're talking about the whole clan.
The whole
they will rise up, and either they do something good or do something terrible. Either way, but we're moving as one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So today, it's so westernized in CNMI, and people are kind of isolated. But I think we need to teach the youth that, you know, you think you're independent, have your own life, but our ancestors, there was more peace. Because they understand their clan, they know their knowledge that belong to the clan, they know the land that belong to the clan, ocean that belong to the clan, and reefs, and a lot of resources that belong to the clans. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you said, it's very different from the Western way of thinking, which is independence, or shall we say the American way of thinking, independence, you know, your nuclear family. And it sounds like it's really a good way to have a sense of responsibility in the things that you do for a more peaceful community. I just wanted to say, I remember, because I moved here when I was 10, so I went to Olei Elementary, and even at that young age, I remember, like, if somebody picked on you, it was like, my male cousins are going to get, you know, like, my brother's going to come and beat you up, you know?
Really?
So you kind of didn't mess with people, because mm-hmm. they had mm-hmm. brothers who, or uncles.
That up. It still exists today.
to the
listeners, it still exists today.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we're talking today about the clan system for the Rfaloash here in the Marianas, and we'll be back with more after this break.
Hafaday, Zantiro. I'm Leo Pangilinan with the Northern Marianas Humanities Council. We'd like to take a moment to thank our generous sponsors who have made possible the many programs in our community like this show. We couldn't have done it without them. And if you value the work we do and would like to make a contribution to our efforts, we ask that you consider making an in-kind or cash contribution to the Northern Marianas Humanities Council. Any amount is appreciated, and donations of up to $5,000 qualify for an educational tax credit. We appreciate your partnership and support. Sizus Maasi, Olomai, and thank you.
Welcome back to Your Humanities Half Hour. Uncle Cecilio, I wanted to ask if you could explain just a little bit more about what you were saying about how different clans are responsible for different things, whether it be land or trees, or as Uncle Lino said, reef. Do clans own a tree?
Yes.
I understand they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... For example, a clan
without legal documents, it's embedded in our tradition.
Yeah. So, for example, if a clan in charge of an island, okay, no people live on the island, but the clan in charge of the island, so they'll be the one allowing people to go there and fish. Allowing people to go there and get whatever they need to get from the island. Nobody can just go there and do whatever they want.
Mm. So this is a form of environmental conservation or resource conservation.
Yeah, it's been our,
we've been doing that.
In our culture for many, many years. And some clan that have the knowledge of breadfruit. So when the first harvest, we bring to that clan, even though the breadfruit is yours.
Mm-hmm.
And then the clan that have the knowledge for the tuba, so when you harvest the tuba, you bring the sweet tuba to that clan.
First cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then another thing is when a woman delivers a baby. The whole island will fish with fish, and bring the fish to that family for 4 days. All the fish, so the woman can have healthy body,
healthy child.
And breastfeed the kid.
Mm.
And then the clan that the lady belongs to will fish continuously for 4 months. All the fish go to the house, and people will come and cook fish, and the ladies will go gather all the taro and the fresh herbs and stuff, and massage the mom and take care of the baby.
Hmm.
Yeah, so you can tell, okay, he's part of this clan because he's still supplying fish to the lady. And then another one is when this hike. Clan or the clans that own the water, in charge of the water, if one of them passes away, they will put a stick in the water with ubud, with coconut leaf. Nobody can go in the ocean for 3 months.
In that particular area?
Yeah, in that area.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's taboo.
You cannot swim. Yeah. Mm. If they put it on the coconut, nobody can climb any coconut. Yeah. Because somebody passes away from that clan that in charge of that. Yeah.
I had heard you shared previously also about, like, if a breadfruit tree from a particular clan is used as a canoe.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about that?
If a clan donated their tree, so they become, that clan become a word, we call it sawa. Okay? So they'll be in charge of making sure the canoe is taken care of. And then when the canoes come back, when the canoe sail to somewhere, they gotta bring a gift and give it back to the clan that owned that tree, that they turn it into a canoe. Mm-hmm. Or if they go fishing, when they divide up the fish, they'll
make sure
that clan that owned the tree have a share.
So everything really, there's a lot of synergy and cooperation between the clans of how to make the community work well.
Yeah. So a word that they use, they don't say among men when we talk in the community with women, and they won't say my sister. They're going to say Rabutol Way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that means you take your sister, you can take her on your canoe anywhere you go. That's the translation of Rabutol Way. You would not say
respectable language uses
in
a community setting. We have those. We just don't speak up. No, we have those. Like when we are at the men's house, we speak like men. You know, ladies' house, menstrual house, ladies speak. But when they say a gathering, both be careful. And these are the terms we use that Cecilia just explained.
Mm-hmm. More respectful way of saying the same thing.
Yes.
Is there a chiefly clan, and how does that work along with the chief council in, shall we say, governing or leading a community? How is a chief chosen or named or appointed, or I don't know, what is initiated, born, what is the right word?
Will me, but they are not chosen. It's been there for ages, as far as we can remember. It's nothing that it's make up.
Yes.
Today or last year, no, it's been there.
How do we know who the next chief is? Maybe that's the best thing to ask.
So example, if your mom is in the chief clan, okay? So your brother will become chief, your oldest brother. And then if no more brothers, then the oldest son of the sister. Yeah. Then it passed down to her son. If no more son, then it goes to the next sister, oldest son.
Okay.
Yeah. Matrilineal.
Yeah.
Okay.
But only on the woman's side. So your son can become chief, but his son cannot. Only the sister's son.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter's son can become chief.
And that continues that matrilineal line.
Yes. The true bloodline.
Yeah. I have to share this story. I was asking one of our aunties one time about you know, chief, and she said, okay, so since my mom is the oldest, this is just an example, mm-hmm. since my mom is the oldest girl, it would have been my brother who would have been chief, okay? My sister, my oldest sister, would have been the one to call the family together if there was something, some kind of work to do, or, you know, like a wedding or death, because she's the oldest daughter. So I was feeling pretty important, so I asked her, oh, what's my role? And I'm the youngest. And she said, you're the slave. So getting back to...
What do you call it? Race of fashion. That was the clan I was trying to remember earlier.
But the chief, he doesn't make all the decisions on his own, correct?
No.
He has advisors.
Advisors, yes. And actually the sisters.
Oh.
Yeah, the sisters are very strong.
Very strong.
Yeah, very strong.
We will make the decision. Yeah. And if our sister from in the same clan disagree, she can change everything that our two brothers were talking about.
Yeah.
Our
so sister, the sister is like the queen.
Yeah, because that's the bloodline. Yeah. We are the workers, Sissy and I.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how about the chief's council? Are there other advisors that he has other than the his sisters? Maybe council's not the right word.
Yeah, so we call it Telap.
Okay.
Yeah, so Samon,
then
Telap. Telap, that's the chief of each clan. That's the leader of each clan. Yeah.
That's the first line.
Yeah.
The other line is Afaguranzo.
Yeah. Okay. And they kind of give their counsel or advice to the chief about what's happening with the island or...
Okay, so the chief have a clan. One of the clans, or two or three of the clans, we call it Teng. So these clans, they're the one to take the message from the other clans and bring it to the chief.
I see. So they get information, input, to bring to the chief to make a decision.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. What, you know, I think... One
but we can put the chief in jail.
Oh.
Yes, like we did.
How does that work?
Well, the chief Leclerc stole a chicken. It was in the book.
Oh, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the jail, it was just a rope. They put a rope on the ground and that become a jail.
Mm-hmm.
And you could sit in that rope under the sun, rain, day in and day out. Until it balanced out whatever was committed, and the people, and we call it ho, that they bring to compensate until it become, you know, acceptable, then the rope will be lifted.
Mm-hmm.
But once you enter the rope, you could sit there for day in and day out. It's not a bar like a jail, it's just a rope.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, Ken, interesting.
It's very interesting, and it's all in your book.
Yeah, very, because our uncle, Lamalur, who was here on Saipan during Japanese, was the one who was talking about the importance of the community, the importance of the chief, and the importance of law and order. And he held up this rope. It's a little rope, the one you pull to open the cell. It's made out of all coconut fiber, okay? And he said it so nicely, each strand represents each one of us. If each one of us is in trouble, they're in trouble, we're all in trouble. Mm-hmm. So the chief is also in the rope. So, you know, that was the rope. So the chief was put in jail.
I think we don't have enough time, really, to delve into this much. So I think we should call this an introduction to the clan system. This is not
look
all.
Look at it. We give your fingers, giving us the wall hand.
Yes, this is an introduction. Introduction to the clan system. But I want to give you both an opportunity. If there's something you want to add or a message for the community about this topic or our culture, your final thoughts.
Yeah, as a Carolinian, we need to listen. That's where we learn more. Listen more than opening our mouth, you know. Because the more we listen, the more we get knowledge from that. So the biggest thing for the kids that are listening or whoever listening, you know, listen and be well informed. That's what I would suggest.
And if you don't know your clan, maybe ask.
Yes, of course. That is part of that.
Uncle Sis?
Yeah, so I think it's important that we try to help our youth by providing them opportunity to go to our elders and ask these things, because in the future, they'll be lost because they won't know their clan system. They won't know their relative on different islands. They won't know what the meaning of their clan, why their clan exists in the community, what their clan owns, and possess, and they'll be, you know,
they're not
they'll
gonna
be
have
like a roof mm-hmm. without foundation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they need to be. If you understand Western system and our system, you will never go wrong. You'll be rock solid in this world.
Kind of like you.
No, seriously, if yeah. you travel, the clan travel with yeah. you. Mm-hmm. Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. You're not traveling alone mm. as individual, no. Mm. The whole clan is with you.
Olomwai, thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you too, Kat, for inviting us. No.
Yeah. And I just want to mention for our listeners that Uncle Cecilio, you just got off the boat 12 hours or so, maybe, from
Guam. Got off at 10:30 this morning.
And you're heading out again in a few hours.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that kind of shows maybe the importance of this particular topic, and for people to know, I really appreciate you taking the time. And of course, you too, Uncle Lino. But thank you so much.
Anytime, Kat, anytime.
We've been chatting today with Lino Olapai and Cecilio Raikilipi, leaders in the Rafalawash community, about Ailang clan system. Just an introduction and a taste. So if you are curious about this, especially if you are a Rafalawash, they encourage you to consult your elders to learn more so that this knowledge can be retained for the present and future generations. This has been your Humanities Half Hour. I'm Catherine Perry.
Your Humanities Half Hour has been made possible in part by a major grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, Democracy Demands Wisdom. Any views, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in this program do not necessarily represent those of the National Endowment for the Humanities. For more information or to share your thoughts, contact the Northern Marianas Humanities Council at nmhcouncil.org or on social media at 670 Humanities, that's 670 Humanities.